The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. The second Sunday of Advent. All your Christmas coming with? For a while there, with all the election campaigning, we thought somehow the attention was changed and we for a moment forgot about Christmas, but Christmas is coming. There is Christmas this year after all, as usual. What a beautiful reading from Isaiah. Beautiful. Beautiful in the sense that it's a reading of hope, telling the people that no matter what has occurred, no matter what a tribulation they may have endured, that a new day is dawning, that God is coming and things will change. And what I like most about it is not only the reconciliation, but also, and in particular, the fact that those animals that would be considered enemies before now are befriending each other. There is no harm. There's only joy. There's only goodness on this day of the Lord. And that is, my dear friends, the day that we all hope for. And I might even go as far as saying the hope that the day that we have to begin now, it's up to us now to make sure that that day becomes a reality. Not tomorrow, but today. That enemies now can shake hands again. That people who thought they couldn't speak to each other can do that again. Because God is still there and God is still in control. My dear friends, on this great stage of Advent, there are three key players. the prophet Isaiah, Saint John the Baptist, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. The prophet Isaiah made his appearance last Sunday, on the first Sunday, and he again today appeared, and he will appear again next Sunday, and of course the fourth Sunday. Isaiah, first reading, all four Sundays. And the Blessed Virgin Mary will make her appearance on the fourth Sunday, but they'll talk about her there. And today, John the Baptist makes his appearance. He makes his entrance on the stage. Enter John the Baptist, or should I say John the Disturber? Because what he says is really something to disturb everyone. What he says is strong and powerful. So I thought I would share with you this morning, first looking at John the Baptist, the man, and second, his message, and then what does all that have to do with me and you and Advent? So first of all, the man, John the Baptist. Well, as you know, he's the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Remember when Mary went to visit cousin Elizabeth and the baby in her womb leapt for joy? That was John the Baptist. Cousin John the Baptist then, because he's the cousin of Jesus. And he's the one who comes to prepare the people for the Messiah. So he's the one who comes to tell the people, Messiah is coming, get ready. And of him, in Luke 7 and 28, Jesus says, "For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Of all those born of women, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist." Of course, he continues to say, "And yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." But at least he gives him that special power, that special name of being so great. And today we see him as a man who's very austere. Clothing made of camel hair, a leather belt around his waist. Maybe because he's considered as the new Elijah, whose outward appearance was a hairy man, and he was girt with a leather belt. And his diet, again, very austere. Locusts and wild honey. No fancy food. What is his attitude? He's frank. He's bold. As we say, he doesn't put water in his mouth to say what he has to say. It doesn't matter who he's talking to. You know my favorite story about him. Herod and Herodias. And when they were in this adulterous relationship, he called them to task. He said, "You may be king and queen, but what you're doing is wrong." No West Bay man. He didn't say, "Well, this is the king and queen, you can't say anything about them." No, he said it. But of course, he paid the price. Eh? The price was his beheading. It didn't matter. The truth is the truth. And he stood for that. Regardless of who it was, that was the object of his particular word, he gave it forth. The new Elijah. Bold, frank, to the point. And of course, in today's gospel, he's no different. When he's baptizing these people and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and the Sadducees, also those learned in the law, were coming to him. What did he call them? Brood of vipers. Oh, yeah. You brood of vipers. These are the leaders of the church, you know. He wasn't afraid to tell them, if you're coming for baptism, be sincere. You can fool me, but you cannot fool God. And it's a strike. That's who he was. You brood of vipers. Who told you to run from the wrath that is coming? But if you are true in your repentance, change your ways. Change your ways. He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know you all. So that's who he was. Strong. In understanding his mission and not fearing to speak, because he believed in what he said and he knew it was true. He knew it was true. And even from that already we can take a lesson. Ask ourselves, are we free enough to speak the truth all the time? Or are we sometimes overshadowed by Westpac email? And we know what is wrong, we know what is right, but we pretend we don't know, and we say, I don't know. Do you know very well? Are we afraid to speak out against the ills of society, whether it has to do with self, close family, or anybody else? Or do we choose to speak only when it's convenient, because somehow we have a grudge against someone? Can we be the new John the Baptist? Not that we have to wear what he wore, we can still wear our nice clothes and so forth. Not that we have to eat what he ate, but in terms of his character, in terms of his belief, in terms of his recognizing that I am a prophet. My dear friends, we are all prophets, you know. Keep that in mind. Priest, prophet, and king, and queen. In our baptism, they remind us that, of that. That as priests, we can offer sacrifice, as we will do today. And that as prophet, God will give us a word to speak to his people, and we must speak it. And as king or queen, to serve the people, not to stamp on them or steal from them, but to serve them well in love and justice and truth. And then that brings me right away to the message. That's the man. The message. What was his message? As the forerunner of the Messiah, his message is linked to his mission, which is to prepare the people for the coming of the Savior of the world. And so as we heard in the gospel, he comes and the very first thing he says is repent. Repent! And I could almost hear him. He didn't have a megaphone. Probably didn't have anything else but his lonely voice. And that's why Isaiah would say a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand. Of course, some heard and some didn't hear. And some truly repented and others pretended to repent. But nevertheless, his message was to repent. What is repent? To turn away from sin. Today, if he came, some might probably ask him, what do you mean by sin? What is sin? Because they've forgotten about sin. Anything goes. And depending on who does it, it's even better. You don't say anything about that. It's all right. Some might even ask, sin, sakarin tujuna? Peche, saki peche? Turn away from sin, oli, mok away, you know? They say, okay, clear peche, yeah. They are the ones that are most deeply involved in it. No, it's true. I mean, the things you hear about what children are being taught today in terms of gender and sexual roles. You say, my goodness, who could teach that to a child? You hear the news as much as I do. And the thing that you hear about kings and governors and so forth, this world has so much turmoil. I refer to that sometime ago. Chile is erupting, Bolivia is erupting, Venezuela is erupting. The Prime Minister of Malta resigned. So many things, all kinds of things. And a lot of it has to do with sin. Sin, sin, sin. But today when John the Baptist says, turn away from sin, some would say, sakarin tujuden, mokoban safini, because nowadays anything goes. Anything goes. Some time ago I spoke about sin, and I always, in my talking about sin, go to the, what we call the seven deadly sins. Pride, covetousness, anger, and so on. And I say, look at these things. Are these things still there? Is there still pride? You say it's a thing of the past. Is there still pride? The pride that makes people feel that they can do anything they want and they're better than everybody else. Is that still there? You ask yourself the question. Covetousness. Greed. Is that still there? Are people still making pacts with the devil because they want earthly things? Anger, is that still there? Jealousy, is that? In other words, go through the list. And I think if you are sincere, you will say, but it's still there. Sin is not a thing of the past. It is not a thing of the past. It is still there. And if, as John the Baptist says, repent, I have to begin with myself and say, is that still there? And Lord, give me the grace to remove it. You know, often we look at the other person, point our finger, say, that one is for her, that one is for this one. But forget about them for the moment and say, which one is for me? If my mind is really clear and my eyes are really open, my heart is ready to receive. If God is pointing his finger at me and saying, you repent, what is there for me? And that is the message of John the Baptist. Some time ago, my dear friends, I spoke about the 6 pillars of character. When I said, you know, that these are what we teach our children. What about us? I want to review them again. Because I think they all fall in line with the message that John the Baptist wanted to preach, which is repent. The very first one in this 6 character counts, pillars, is trustworthiness. Am I trustworthy? Can people trust me? That is the question. When John the Baptist says repent, I ask myself, am I a trustworthy person? Can my boss trust me that his work is being done or her work is being done? That when the accounts come in, they are correct, that I have not sifted off something for myself? That I have given a fair day's work for a fair day's pay? Can I say that I am trustworthy? Am I honest in my communications and my actions? If I am in a position of authority, a teacher, a priest, whoever it is, a government minister, am I trustworthy? Do my people feel, yes, we can trust him, we can trust her? Because when they give us the report, it's true. Am I deceitful? Do I cheat? Do I steal? Trustworthiness has to do with being reliable. Do I do what I say I'll do? Do I have the courage to do the right thing, to do the right thing? Do I have the time to build a good reputation? Do I consider a good reputation better than wealth? Do I consider a good reputation better than having big house and big car and mansion and yacht and plane and all that? A good name. Do I consider that important? Do I stand by my family, my friends, and do I keep my promises? John the Baptist's message, repent. I think it all has to do with that. The second character pillar is respect. Do I treat others with respect? And do I follow the golden rule? Do unto others what you would like them to do unto you. Do to others' children what you would like them to do to your children. And the negative is also the same. Don't touch anybody's child because you wouldn't want anybody to touch your child. Or your husband. Or your wife. Or your money. Etc. 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 Am I tolerant and accepting of differences? Respect. That those who have an opinion that is other than mine, do I respect them even if I differ from them? Do we agree to disagree? Do I use good manners, not bad language? Am I considerate of the feelings of others? Do I threaten them? Do I hit them or do I hurt them? Do I deal peacefully with anger, insults and disagreements? That's respect. Respect for myself and respect for everybody else, child of God. The blues, the blacks, the reds, the purples, the greens, everybody, respect. Change! That's what John the Baptist says. The next one is responsibility. Do I do what I'm supposed to do? Do I feel that I'm accountable? I'm accountable for my actions and for my words. Do I plan ahead? Am I diligent? Do I persevere? Do I do my best? Do I use self-control? Am I self-disciplined? Do I think before I act? Am I accountable for my words, my actions, and my attitudes? Do I set a good example for others? The children are watching. The children are learning. What am I teaching the children today? What kind of family, what kind of society am I teaching them to be part of? Do I make healthy choices? And then comes fairness. Do I play fair? That's all it is, you know. Do I play fair? Whether it's a game of dominoes, whether it's a game of cricket, whether it's a game of life, Do I play fair? Do I cheat? Am I open-minded to listen to others? Do I take advantage of others, especially the poor? Do I play in their heads and play in their minds to get my own way? Because they're too stupid. Do I treat everyone fairly? The next two are caring and citizenship. Caring, am I compassionate? Do I show any sort of care for others? Do I show empathy? Even for my enemies? Do I show empathy even for those who don't like me? Do I forgive even before they apologize? That's real forgiveness, you know. My forgiveness does not depend on your apology. Whether you apologize or not, my heart is big enough to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And leave it there. When they're ready to apologize, if they apologize at all, is neither here nor there for me. That is caring. And then the last one, of course, citizenship. Do I share to make my home, my school, my community a better place? Do I recognize that somehow there are laws of this country, my own country, and I obey them? Do I protect the environment? In other words, my dear friends, these are the pillars of character for children. Eh? They're in all of our schools, if I'm not mistaken. They have several colors. The teachers who are here can attest that it's true. Even though they have it there. They're trying to teach the children how to be good. How to be good and live in society. What about us? What about us? Maybe we need to hear this more than they do, because children learn what they live. Children learn what they live. You can teach them everything you want. If we, the older ones and the parents, don't do that, they won't accept it. John the Baptist said, his message is repent. What is repent? Turn around. Search your heart. Search your heart. When Peter denied Christ, he didn't say, oh God, oh, it's just a little thing. No, he went up and wept bitterly. He cried. Because he knew that he'd done something wrong. He didn't say, oh, it's just a little thing. And certainly he did not blame others and say, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. You know, today, my dear friends, you almost feel that people make you feel guilty for feeling guilty. If you make a mistake and you say, oh God, I feel so bad. You say, oh, leave that alone. That's nothing. That's nothing. Boy, I stole $1 million, you know. Oh, don't worry about that. Don't feel guilty about it. They make you feel as if you ought to feel guilty for feeling guilty. So much that the human heart has become hardened to what sin is. The eyes have become closed. The mind has become blurred. And the heart is no longer able to receive anything. When the prodigal son confessed his sin, he didn't say, oh, Papa, joke I was making. No, he wept. He prepared a long speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I have sinned. He acknowledged his sin, beating his breast. What about us? What about us? And that brings me then, my dear friends, to the last part of my sharing, which is, what are the implications of all of that with ourselves in this time of Advent now, post-election time? Well, as I said, the message of John the Baptist is very clear. Some will hear it and some will not. As often we have said, many of us speak and others say we have never spoken. Or we speak and they turn it around and say, that's what you said. So when John the Baptist spoke, I pray that we who are truly waiting for the coming of the Lord to celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day, or as I said earlier on, these first few days of Advent, preparing for the second coming of Christ. Let us not say, eh, peshekarin tujuna. Let us say, yes, peshekarin tujuna. That we somehow are all implicated, and his message stands true for you and for me today. So yes, the message is clear, and the message is change.
Change the way you think. Change our attitudes towards God, our neighbor, and ourselves. Change. Change the way we think. Change our outlook on life. What is important? What is not important? Do we still have faith? And if we have faith, in whom? Is it in my God, the God of Israel, the God of Moses and Isaac and Jacob, or in some other God? The God of money and prestige and possessions. Change your conduct. Change your ways. Change from pride to humility. Put pride aside and say, no, Lord, from now on I'll be humble. Change from greed to generosity. Not from amassing wealth and having more and more. You know the expression, plioni, pliovle. Enough. But how much are you going to take with you to the grave now? How much of it are you going to take with you? You will not take the car, you will not take the house, you won't take anything. If they choose to dress you, you'll have a dress on you. That is if they find the body, eh? Don't take anything with us. So change. If you have indeed, instead of holding it, share. Let others enjoy it as well. Change from lust to chastity. A sense of the goodness of the human body and appreciating it for what it is. Change from anger to meekness. We will change. We'll have differences. But we don't have to fight with each other all the time. We can still talk civilly and enjoy each other's company. And most of all, applaud the goodness in the other, even in my enemy. Change from envy to brotherly love. Not to be envious of what others have, but be thankful for what I have. Thankful for the God who's given me everything that I have. Change from sloth to diligence. Not to be lazy, but to work. To change your demeanor. If you heard Isaiah this morning, my goodness, the peace and the reconciliation he talks about. The animals that normally would be enemies of each other and now friends. And the child can play on the serpent's lair and he would not be harmed. That is what I aim for. To seek that new day that Isaiah speaks about with the Spirit of God upon you. Because he begins by saying that when that shoot springs up, he will have the Spirit of God on him. Then he goes through what we refer to as the gifts of the Spirit. Wisdom. You have it. Understanding. You have it. Counsel. You have it. Strength. Fortitude. You have it. All the gifts that Isaiah speaks about are the gifts that you received at confirmation. What are you doing with them? Use them well now as you prepare to shed sin and receive the Lord who is coming. Seek the reconciliation that Isaiah so graphically portrays when he says, he will judge not by appearance, nor by hearsay shall he decide, but he shall judge the poor with justice and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Talk about you and me. Can we do that? Can we say justice is a band around our waist and faithfulness is also there? I want to remind you, dear friends, that John the Baptist began with repent, but so did Jesus, you know. When he came on the scene, that was his first word, repent. Repent. So as we continue the journey of Advent, Christmas coming, we're preparing. Let us take that little word from John the Baptist and Jesus. Repent. Let us see how we are repenting. If indeed we are. Let us see how we can improve on our understanding of our own conversion experience. I pray that the Lord will give all of us that chance to review our own hearts. Because that's what it's about. Starting always with me first. Where am I before my God? I know who John the Baptist was. Fearless. He spoke the truth. I heard his message. His message was repent. Does that have anything to do with me? And if it does, what am I doing about it? Amen.
Amen.